Early last month, Annie Tertan joined a delegate of Canadian youth who traveled to Durban, South Africa to be part of COP17, the International Conference on Climate Change. Annie is the Public Education and Outreach Coordinator at Climate Change Connections, which is a project of the Manitoba Eco Network. And Mud and Water talked to her last month before she left, and she joins us now to report back on her experience. Welcome, Annie.
Hi, welcome.
While you were in Durban, you wrote a daily blog that talked about the conference and also about how you were feeling about what was going on there. Why was it important for you to provide daily updates from the conference?
I think it was really important to provide an update from a youth perspective and not just the mainstream media, so people can get actually inside looks how we feel, how we are treated there, and how we're not part of the process, although we should be.
And was that your experience, that as a youth you had less input or less respect than older delegates?
I think I felt a bit like the United Nations and our governments created a kids table for us so the media can see us, but they don't want to hear us, and they definitely don't want to listen to us.
That's really interesting. And I'm going to get to how you were heard by some of the actions. But one thing I wanted to ask you first was, during the conference, while the conference was going on, the government of Canada announced their approval for the Jocelyn Tar Sands mine. And the government had gone into Durban saying they were going there to defend the Canadian tar sands projects. What was the response of other countries to the position of the Canadian government?
From the first day on, Canada was on everybody's lips. That was the case. Everyone was actually asking, what is going wrong in Canada? What is going on? Where is Canada? Where's the Canada who was a leader in peacekeeping, who was a leader in environmental protection in the end of the 80s and the beginning of the 90s? What has happened to Canada, and what has happened to Canadians that they don't pay attention anymore?
And I imagine it wasn't a surprise given the Conservative government, but it seemed, at least from a lot of people here, that the Canadian government went there and you expected it was going to be bad, but then they went there and they were worse than you could even imagine. I don't know if that was your experience.
I think I expected it to a certain point, but then it got to a level where I thought, this is really disrespectful on an international level to behave like that. It was shameful that opposition politicians were not allowed to be members of the Canadian delegation. The coming into negotiations and saying we're playing hardball with developing countries is just not very constructive on an international level like that.
Just to get back to the voice of youth and what you were saying earlier, because I think for people here, one of the highlights of the conference for Canadians was watching members of the Canadian youth delegation stand up and protest as Environment Minister Peter Kent delivered his opening speech. Can you describe what that experience was like?
It was empowering to a certain point, and it was good to see that we stood up and that we turned our back on him to tell him, we are not going to sit here and listen to you how you will bargain away our future for short-term economic goals. I think that was very empowering for me.
And how was the decision made to do that action?
It was the six young Canadians who made the decision. I was not part of this group. So I would say it was, within the Canadian delegation, it was not much discussed. It was their decision to take this kind of direct action, which was a very peaceful action.
It was very powerful to see it. From the outset, the talks did face a lot of challenges, and I think a lot of people felt that they didn't go very well or end well. And one of the main challenges seemed to be the tension between developed and lesser developed or developing nations. How did those tensions play out in the talks?
Well, it was a blame game, I would call it. Every morning when we met with the Canadian delegation, I could only hear Canada would like to do this, but China and India are not doing this. And it was the same answer every morning. I never heard the Canadian delegation say the U.S. is blocking the negotiations. So it was clearly there was an ally, and they formed a bloc to make sure there's no progress whatsoever on these talks in Durban.
And it seems like an easy way to avoid doing anything for the richer countries themselves if they can just pass it on to
exactly.
Poorer countries. Yeah. While the conference was going on, one thing that happened here in Manitoba is the Manitoba government announced that they weren't going to be meeting their Kyoto targets. And I don't know if there was much impact internationally, but I think it does have some impact in terms of the expectation, at least for other provinces and within Canada. Did you feel that it had any impact on the negotiations?
I had a conversation with the BC Environment Minister, and he actually said to me, well, I feel like we're going really fast. Maybe we should step back a bit and wait for the other provinces. So I would say there is an impact of stepping back, of Manitoba not committing to Kyoto anymore. And I think it was really irresponsible to do that during the international negotiations.
Yeah, it did seem like that a time when you really are trying to push other governments, that it was really poor timing. As someone who's working on climate change issues here in Manitoba, what do you think needs to be done to put more pressure provincially on the provincial government to get them to meet their targets?
That's a very difficult question. Mm-hmm. And it is the people, of course. We as the people have to step up and say, yes, we have an interest. But it's also the government who has to put more value on our economy. And our economy is agriculture, right? And it's a sector who will be largely impacted by climate change. And just to ignore that is so wrong. And I can only hope that the government sees that and will take action as soon as possible.
When we talked to you before you left, you did seem quite hopeful about the agreement, that there could be an agreement to mitigate climate change. How do you feel now coming back?
Well, I had to be hopeful too, because of course I want to change the world. I know I couldn't change the world by going there, but I have no excuse not to try, at least. And, you know, I'm looking forward to working in the community, and I think we can do a lot on the community level than on the international level. So I'm really hopeful for our communities to take on local initiatives and then take it to the global level, bottom-up approach.
And did you think youth had an impact in Durban?
I think so. If I look at the blog entries and at the comments and how many people actually clicked on our blogs and the media attention we got in South Africa and in Canada, yes, we had an impact.
That's great. And I just get you, just before we let you go, to give your blog address so people can read your blogs if they'd like to.
Yes, it's youthdelegatemanitoba.wordpress.com.
So it's youthdelegatemanitoba.wordpress.com. Great. Well, thank you very much for coming speaking to me today.
Thanks for having me.
I've been speaking to Annie Tertan from the Climate Change Connections. And again, you can read a detailed account of her experience at the COP17 in Durban on her blog, which is youthdelegatemanitoba.wordpress.com.